The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We're on Love 99.5 FM. We're on myjoyonline.com live in all 16 regions of Ghana. KTU Radio in Koforidua, Gangai FM in Jira, Pakekele Radio in Hall. We're live on X Spaces. You're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, stop the politicking and the blame game and allow the crises to be resolved. Chieftains and minister to the feuding Boko factions following the fresh killing of 16 persons. We have details as government engages eminent chiefs led by the Asantehene Otumfuo Setu II to broker lasting peace in the area.
The government has requested Otumfuo the Asantehene to take sole responsibility in terms of negotiating and discussing and bringing this whole thing to some amicable solution. And he's been doing that.
We have details from that press conference also this afternoon. Parliament's Public Accounts Committee questions a $17 million contract by the National Information Technology Agency, noting no workstations were found and calling for accountability and potential sanctions against NITA's CEO.
We can conclude by saying that the money was paid, but the services were not rendered.
The workstations were not provided?
No. They said they provided 300 workstations.
Across the country?
Across the country.
And you can't point to even one?
No.
Also, for the first time, former Deputy Minority Leader James Kluche Aveji shares how he felt upon receiving the news of his removal from Parliament's front bench.
So I was in Mombasa. My secretary called me that there's a letter from him from the party office. And I said, read it to me. And eventually the outcome is that I've been relieved of my position.
The party did not even consult you before writing
no,
the letter.
No.
We have details. Plus, Speaker of Parliament asks Supreme Court to set aside its order, which stated its declaration of 4 seats vacant, and much later.
If you have any issue about litigation concerning land, we have a team of lawyers on standby, and they will help you resolve your legal issues on land for free. And there'll be music, there'll be fun, there'll be food, everything there. Just come and take a bite of whatever we have on display.
Yes, the Ecobank Joinees Habitat Fair starting tomorrow will not only help you get a house, you'll also have the opportunity to get legal advice on all your land and house issues from experts. We have sports.
Ghana's Mohamed Kudus is facing a potential 6-match ban at West Ham United in the Premier League.
And it's a sight of shock and tears at her hometown as founder of the Ghana Freedom Party, Madame Ikuyadonko, suddenly passes away at 72. We get to reflect on her public life and entry into Ghanaian politics, the fun side, and a show of perseverance to end up on the ballot paper twice. That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. Please do stay for details. I am MFA Apau. Thanks for choosing us. We are your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Stop the politicking and the blame game and allow the crises to be resolved. That's the Minister of Chieftaincy and Religious Affairs, Stephen Asamoah Martin's caution to the feuding Boko factions following the fresh killing of 16 persons. He also announced the engagement of eminent chiefs led by the Asantehene Otumfuo Setu II to broker lasting peace in the area. The latest unrest follows the controversial return of Sedu Abagui to Boko on October 24. Well, despite the lack of legal recognition for his title, his presence has exacerbated tensions between rival factions, resulting in multiple clashes. The Chieftain's Minister has been addressing a press conference a while ago and emphasized the government's commitment to resolving the issue impartially.
The role of key personalities who are helping to resolve, indeed, you recall that the government has requested Otumfuo the Asantehene to take sole responsibility in terms of negotiating and discussing and bringing this whole thing to some amicable solution. And he's been doing that. It's not just because of this incident. I know he's called them severally to Mesha. I know he's in touch. And indeed, just recently, the past 3 or 4 days, we have been talking to him and he's talking to them And indeed, that is going down well, and I'm glad. That's why I thank him for it. So he's on top of it. And hopefully, as I said, people would be calm. And what government has to do, we take all their votes. I talk to you not just the overlords. I go as down, as deep down as I can. Because I know traditionally decisions are not made by one person. And so I tend to find out a lot more. So when I'm talking to the main person, the overlords, I know exactly what kind of conversation we have. And they are very cooperative. Some of them takes a while to come around, but in a conflict situation, that's what you expect.
That's the Chief Transit Minister, Stephen Asamoah-Gyan there. My colleague, Mamie Sinyamiche Thompson, is there for joining us at that press conference, joins us on the line. Mamie, first, did we get clarity on the number of deaths in this renewed clash?
Indeed, MFR, the minister puts the official figure at 16 in this renewed clash. And so that is the figure that we have now. 16 lives are lost in the recent clashes that happened Sunday.
And he's been providing some interventions, mentioned that the Asantehene will be leading eminent chiefs to broker lasting peace. What are interventions did he announce?
Indeed, you mentioned the major one. Aside that, we also know about the curfew that have been instituted by government and has instructed also security men on the ground to deal severely with deviants who choose to violate the current rules of the curfew. And also, as you originally said, he's engaging eminent chiefs led by their Centennial 2-4 to the second to mediate between the feuding factions to ensure that peace prevails in Boko.
And the minister sounded unhappy that some politicians have taken advantage of the situation and making resolution difficult. Tell us more.
Indeed, he's not happy, as he indicates that the factors or the factions inflame passions, which escalates the conflict. And he says that he'll keep listening to all to stop the blame games. What's also instructive is that no one should play political or politics with the issue at hand. Whether it is also looking at bringing some form of mediation between government people that are involved or stakeholders that are in government to ensure that all sides come to the table and then peace prevails. And he doesn't admit, though, that there are political actors involved in the conflict, MFR.
Government is guided by its responsibility to protect lives and property, and above all, to enforce law and order to restore normalcy as quickly as possible. We have taken notice of the interpretations, or should I say misinterpretations, that are being given by the various factions in this matter that sometimes seeks to inflame passions and designed to escalate the situation. In a way, I sense some level of mistrust that has crept in since last week, but I want to assure all sides that the trust you have had in myself, especially as your minister responsible for chieftaincy matters and with the government, must be maintained. Government, through my ministry and that of my colleagues and institutions, will keep listening to you and act with impartiality and in a fair manner to build and maintain the peace in Boko and its environs. No one should play politics with this sensitive matter. I will continue to engage my colleagues in the political arena from all sides to work with government to resolve the current problems and to work towards lasting peace.
Well, Mamiesi, also the issue about the return of this rival chief, Seydou Abagri, came up at the press conference. What exactly was Asamoah-Gyan's position on that?
He has first concern. In fact, he tells us he couldn't explain how he got back to Boko. However, the security agencies are working on that particular issue. He cannot explain or, reveal to us exactly what they will be doing about him, but tells us they are all over that issue.
This question was on government proactiveness, right?
Yes.
You remember my opening statement, I said I've been on top of what's happening in Boko for a long time. And the situation of the travel of the have achieved to Boko is not my in my purview. And I said that's something the security agencies may respond appropriately.
That's a Chieftaincy and Regional Affairs, Religious Affairs Minister Stephen Asamoah Boateng at that press conference. Let me take you live to Boko itself and find out what the situation is now. My colleague Albert Sori joins us on the line with more on this. Albert, what can you report in terms of the situation as we speak?
MFA, there is still tension in the town, mainly because occasionally the residents are telling us that they are still hearing gunshots. It's not as intense as it was the past few days, but they still occasionally hear gunshots ringing in the atmosphere. A lot of them are still staying indoors, but I must also add that security presence has been beefed up since yesterday, and things are a bit normal, just that a lot of people are still staying indoors for their own safety.
That's my colleague Albert Sori there giving us updates on the situation in Boko away from Boko in the Upper East region. Let me bring you back to the Greater Accra region. And Speaker of Parliament Alban Sumana Kingsford Bagbing is seeking to set aside and vacate the order of the Supreme Court which states the execution of his declaration of 4 seats as vacant. According to processes filed in court by lawyers for the Speaker, the Supreme Court did not have any jurisdiction to entertain the action filed by Majority Leader Alexander Afenyo-Markin. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent and member of our Legal Affairs Desk, Kwaku Asante, has been studying the application, has joined me in studio with more details of what we are learning. Kwaku, briefly, recount the past facts of this controversy.
So it was on the 15th of October when the minority leader, Dr. Kasela Tofosin, raised the issue of those 4 MPs on the floor of the House and invited the Speaker of Parliament to make a declaration to that effect that those 4 MPs have vacated their seats. 2 days later, the Speaker did comply with that and actually did declare those 4 seats vacant. The next day, the NPP MPs got the Supreme Court to actually set aside that. In fact, what they did was to stay the execution of this, and that is why the Speaker of Parliament has filed this new action in court.
Let's talk about the grounds for this application by the Speaker.
It says that the court had no jurisdiction to entertain the suit before the court, and that the writ by which the plaintiff has purportedly invoked the court's original jurisdiction is incompetent, and that the processes and proceedings in the suit were filed and prosecuted in breach of the rules of natural justice. It's part of the grounds that Thaddeus Sori is leading a team of lawyers to file on behalf of the Speaker of Parliament.
And the lawyers for the Speaker have also sought to canvass some facts which they say buttresses their point. What are those?
They start from the jurisdiction of the court. They say that, quote, a reading of the plaintiff's writ and accompanying processes, a copy of which is attached to this, will reveal that it was filed together with a statement of claim which is not required by the rules of court. They proceed to go to the meaning of Article 97(1)(GH) and says that what the Speaker did not amount to an interpretation of the Constitution, strictly so-called. Then it's a matter of whether or not there was proper service. They talk about how the Speaker of Parliament and the judiciary had come to an agreement, and in pursuance of Article 117 and 118 of the Constitution, that the Speaker of Parliament can only be served on Monday, and that this particular application was served on the Speaker of Parliament on a day that was in breach of the Constitution. They go on to talk about the natural justice and right to be heard in two ways. First, they say that it is not true that the Speaker of Parliament did not grant these 4 MPs the right to be heard, and that these MPs, if they were so minded, could have risen on the floor of Parliament and actually speak. But then also, because Alexander Afenyo-Markin's application to the court was by way of an ex parte motion, Parliament was not heard. Okay. And then finally, there's a matter of the duration of the injunction. We know that the lawyers for the majority leader, Alexander Afenyo-Markin, asked for 10 days stay of the execution of that ruling, and the court did grant them up until the case is concluded, and they raise issues with that as well.
And briefly, just before you head out, what exactly then does the Speaker and his lawyers expect the Supreme Court to do on the basis of this application?
So, to quote from the application, it says, I am instructed by the first defendant to express expectation that upon the court's attention being drawn to the obvious judicial overreach, including the various breaches of constitutional and statutory provisions, the Supreme Court will actually stay or vacate this order. Again, it says, the first defendant further prays that application be the order of the court be vacated and heard on notice to the plaintiff, with the court ordering that the plaintiff is immediately served notice of the application and ordered to appear so that both of the parties may be heard. So ultimately, lawyers for the Supreme Court are seeking to set aside this ruling of the Supreme Court.
Thank you very much. That's a legal affairs correspondent and parliamentary affairs correspondent, Kwikwesanti. They're giving us update on that situation. Of course, there's more on myjawonline.com, and we're following up on that issue for you. But still on the Speaker of Parliament, he's emphasized that the House of Legislature is a vital institution that should not be taken for granted, as it serves as the mirror of Ghana's democracy. He's been speaking at the commissioning of the Job 600 building.
If the people are to benefit from democratic governance, it is the parliament, which is the mirror of democracy, that is the focus that should be strengthened. Because apart from lawmaking, it is parliament that has the only function of oversight. And it is parliament that should ensure that our collective efforts, whether in terms of energy, in terms of resources, in terms of right and trust, is properly applied to the benefit of everyone.
As Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin. Now, the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament is recommending disciplinary actions, including possible contempt charges against the National Information Technology Agency, NITA CEO Richard Otrifusu, for failing to provide documentation to justify a $17 million contract. During the COVID-19 pandemic, NITA awarded the contract to Smart Infraco Limited to construct 300 workstations across the country to curb the virus spread. However, the committee reports that not a single workstation was built, despite full payment. The committee chair, James Aveji, told my colleague Elton Broby on the Pulse that NITA's management has ignored all related correspondence leading to the committee's call for accountability.
They have invited the NITA and the Minister of Communication to come to the committee to provide some information. They refused to do so.
NITA, what was their relationship with COVID?
Yes, during COVID time, they claimed to have spent about $17 million and then the Minister of Communication
to do what exactly?
To provide workstations where civil servants can sit at home and work. So close to $17 million was spent. And this issue came up when we're dealing with the COVID report. So we needed more information to be able to establish the authenticity of that transaction. The NITA, I invited them, they refused to come.
You invited them through the Minister for Communication?
Communication, yes.
So in
they appeared
case,
first, and when during interrogation, we realized that we needed more information to be able to know that expenditure actually take place, whether the services have been provided, where the civil servant utilized those services, where $70 million was spent. They refused to come.
Explanation did they provide?
They did not even give any explanation.
What is the minister saying about this? Because NITA is under the communications ministry.
They have not even come to the committee to give any explanation. So for my committee, what we're going to do is to report on this to parliament.
Well, NITA has declined to comment on the issue for now, stating we'll address the matter in due course. Meanwhile, we'll take a moment to focus on James Aveji, who will soon be stepping down after representing Ketu North in the Volta region for 2 decades. Rising from a backbencher to become a chair of the Finance Committee and Deputy Minority Leader, James Klute Aveji's career saw a sudden shift when he and the entire NDC front bench were controversially replaced in January 2023. For the first time, he shares how he felt upon hearing the news.
I told myself that I would not make public comment on this. And since then, I've never made public comment.
It's a public interest question.
It is my party that gave me the opportunity to serve in that position. It's the same party that said, it's enough for you, go and sit somewhere. Why should I be angry? No.
You've never been bitter about it?
No, never.
But the way and manner in which...
I have never been bitter about
the
it.
The claim is that you heard it on the radio.
I actually was out of the country. The Kenyan Parliament invited me to come and give a paper to their new committee on public accounts committee. So I was in Mombasa. When my clerk called me, my secretary called me, that there's a letter from me from the party office. And I said, read it to me. And eventually the outcome is that I've been relieved of my position.
The party did not even consult you before writing the letter.
No.
That clearly is not the right way to go.
Well,
for somebody who served the party from the four parliaments up until now, rose to leadership position in the party.
It did not matter. It didn't change me as Honorable Aveji. It didn't change me. So what I did was I asked her to take a snap of it and send it to me. And she did. So what I did was rather to send that copy to the General Secretary to thank him that I received your letter, because it was signed by the General Secretary. I received your letter and I want to thank you. That's all.
That's James Kluche Aveji, the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee and former deputy minority leader. They're speaking to my colleague Elton Brube on The Pulse on the Joy News channel. Well, the United States government says its potential visa restrictions on individuals undermining democracy in Ghana should not be seen as interference in the country's internal affairs. The U.S. State Department announced tough visa restrictions yesterday against individuals whose actions threaten Ghana's democracy before, during and after the general elections on December 7th. Providing more clarity on the matter, the press attaché at the U.S. Embassy here in Accra, Matthew Asada, says the main aim is to preserve and consolidate Ghana's democratic credentials. He spoke on the Super Morning Show.
As of today, there are no individuals that have been targeted, but these are more preventive to encourage peaceful democratic elections here in Ghana. So the law itself talks about anyone that has been involved with, you know, manipulation or rigging of electoral process, intimidating, coercing, or preventing people from exercising their rights to freedom of association and peaceful assembly.
You are often accused of interfering. What would you say to those who suggest that that's what is happening here?
This policy is not just something that is here in Ghana, but it's in other places. But it's done as part of our partnership with those governments, with those peoples who also aspire to free democratic elections.
But what is the trigger for the issuance of this statement now? Was it because, for example, that there was a meeting of the former president John Dramani Mahama with some members of the diplomatic corps?
It's not linked to any particular meeting, and our ambassador is meeting regularly with the government of Ghana, with the political parties, to relay our interest in a fair, peaceful, and credible election here in Ghana. And
that's Matthew Asada there, the press attaché at the U.S. Embassy, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News. Live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. We are live in all 16 regions. On X Space is also on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We've been hearing from the chieftaincy and religious affairs minister asking the feuding factions in Boko to stop the politicking and the blame game and allow the crisis to be resolved as government engages eminent chiefs led by the Santahene Otunfose to the second to broker lasting peace in the area. We return from the break with sports also getting ready for the EcoBank Joy News Habitat Fair. And of course, the sight of shock and tears as founder of the Ghana Freedom Party, Madame Ikuea Donkor, suddenly passes at age 83.
Through the blood and joy of our fathers, our blood, I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, I'm not a child. What's up with you? Why not be a faster hand? Because there's so much shame over singing. I'm a child.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Efia, I've been thinking, have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kajo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of Free SHS, and now she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But if still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kwaju. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere, for everyone, yeah.
Dial *712#. Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712#. Now I'll cost you to take it through as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win is the car cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
Time for sports. Mubarak, what do we have?
Yes, Samafa. So Mohamed Kudus could be hit with a longer ban after being sent off for a violent conduct against Spurs players in the Premier League. Kudus saw red in the 86th minute after kicking and slapping Mickey van der Veen in the face, followed by pushing Pape Matasa. The 24-year-old is currently serving a 3-game ban, but former referee Mike Dean says further action may be forthcoming. In other news, Manchester United are in talks to appoint sporting manager Ruben Amorim as a replacement for Erik ten Hag. It is understood that the Portuguese coach is eager for a move. Back to you, MFA.
Thank you very much, Mubarak. And to that sad news that's coming in today, the death of the presidential candidate for the Ghana Freedom Party, Madame Ikua Donko, sadly has passed away at the age of 83. The former-turned politician took the Ghanaian political scene by storm with her jovial commentary and witty takes. Kwekwa Santi of Our Political Desk takes a look back at some of the memorable moments of her life.
Madame Ikua Donko lived the greater part of her 72 years outside of the public limelight until she emerged around 2012 during the election, seeking to become president when she founded the Ghana Freedom Party. In 2012, she did not end up on the presidential ballot after she was disqualified by the Electoral Commission. But Madame Ikua Donko didn't give up. She joined hands with PPP's Papa Kwesi Ndum in a short-lived alliance. In 2016, she was back to her dream of becoming president and was disqualified again. She did not lose her sense of humor, even in such trying times for her political dreams. But in 2020, Ikua Donko made it for the first time on the presidential ballot paper.
The sixth first candidate to present nomination forms to the commission was Madame Ikua Donko, and the candidate has therefore been adjudged responsive to the nomination requirements. She has therefore been cleared to contest the 2020 presidential election.
In 2024 also, she made it on the ballot paper and until her death was busy campaigning to be president. In the last IPAC meeting she attended,